everyone. Welcome to the College Exploration Spotlight Series. My name is Victoria and I work for the Charlotte Mecklenburg Library. Each episode, we're going to be interviewing current or recently graduated students at a variety of schools for teens to learn more about colleges before applying. Finding the right school to fit your wants and needs can be hard, but the library is here to help. Let's have some fun and explore these schools together. All opinions expressed by interviewees are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of Charlotte Mecklenburg Library or its affiliates. Their opinions are based upon their experiences and information in which they consider to be reliable. Today's interview is with Jeremy. So hi, thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So what school did you attend?
I attended the College of New Jersey, a very inspiring name. And yeah, it's a small liberal arts college in Ewing, New Jersey.
So for anyone who's never been there before, what is that area like?
So Ewing is a very, very residential kind of suburban-ish town, but it's close to the state capital of New Jersey, Trenton, which is, you know, a city in by name, but maybe not. That kind of urban sprawl didn't make it toward the campus. But we're also, it was very close to the Pennsylvania border. So there was an opportunity to kind of within maybe 20 minutes, drive over to Pennsylvania and see, you know, historic parks and things like that. So I'm definitely very suburban.
Absolutely. So how would you rate your overall experience there?
I really liked my time actually at TCNJ. Oh, there's my cat. and it was very, I spent 4 years there and, it was very, student focused, I guess, as a liberal arts college might tend to be.
Yeah. Cause I mean, liberal arts colleges tend to be a little bit smaller, so they have the ability to focus a little bit more on you individually.
Yeah. In fact, I want to say the overall student enrollment, across all 4 years was maybe 5,000. Contrasted to where I am right now in graduate school, I'm at the University of Florida, which has, you know, over 50,000 enrolled students. So, definitely a very small town, small student body feel.
That's a very big difference for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you say is your favorite part about having attended that school for your undergrad?
I think because of how small, the school was, there was a very intimate feeling. So I did live on campus all 4 years. So that little kind of insular place was a nice kind of little focused space where you could have friends that you kind of kept up with very frequently. I got to know a lot of my faculty because our class sizes were small as well. And as a result, it really helped me to like really dig into the college experience and what I was doing. So I would say that that was the benefit of having a smaller school to attend.
That's awesome. So what's the food like there? What kind of options do you have? Is the fact that it's smaller like affect what's available to you?
So it was interesting because over the time that I was there, they totally sort of revamped the cafeteria space. So when I first started, it was very, I would say it was pretty bland. It was like the typical things you might expect. Every day was like a themed day, and it was usually kind of overcooked burgers on very sad looking bread or something. But it was basic college food. I would say my, like, people say, oh, you know, you're you put on, you know, weight over the course of college, and it was like my freshman 15 pound increase was like more like a freshman 30. I ate so much food, but over the time that they sort of did upgrades to the cafeteria, it became this really vibrant college cafeteria with all these different stations. They had salad bars. People got really into customizing their food options, because I mean everything was very much just grab, you know, items from here and there, and you could assemble whatever you wanted. So I got into the habit of making these like cheeseburger chicken sandwich things that was like compilation of stuff where you could get like a salad over here and then get a chicken breast over there, and you could make like a chicken Caesar salad. So there's an a bit of a creativity to what they offered, and I think that actually kind of made it fun.
That's awesome.
So that was the cafeteria, but they also had a lot of other options as well. There was a little convenience store that you could go in between classes and use. So they had, I think a lot of schools have this, where you kind of, you can get like a points type system where you kind of pay into that through your housing. So you could use those points at various places on campus. So they had, you know, like a Starbucks, they had a, you know, a convenience store thing. They had a place we used to call T-Dubs, because it was TW, one of the residence halls, was like Travers and Wolf, and they were connected by a little like area, and they had a little like late night diner cafe thing there, so people could go there and get, you know, like mac and cheese and wings and whatever else. So there's actually a lot of, for a very small campus, there were a lot of little places you could go and you could hang out there. They also had a bar place that for at least a long time, that's where you could also go to get like beer, for example, if you were of age. So surprisingly, I think a lot of variety.
That's really cool. Mm-hmm. So you did say that you lived on campus. So what are those residence halls like?
Interesting. And definitely, I would say not stratified, but every year students had a certain group of residence halls that were open to them. So my freshman year, I had gone there through the honors program. And so there was an honors dorm, which is, I think, a very common thing. And so we were grouped in a particular set of floors in a dorm called Cromwell. What was really interesting about the residence experience there is a lot of universities do this freshman year kind of course that everyone has to take. Maybe it has different topics that you can choose from, but the goal is to kind of put you in a space with people who are at the same stage as you so that you kind of kickstart that social experience. And so I had taken a class on the Beatles and their worlds. It was taught by an English professor. And I was actually living on the floor of that residence hall with pretty much everyone in my class. So that was a really quick way for me to start to know people. Those dorms were pretty, I would say, pretty basic. We had, it was a double room, so it was a single kind of like room that had two beds that you could bunk if you wanted, and they shared a bathroom with two other rooms with two people. So all told, it was about six people to a bathroom. It was also a co-ed dorm. So on our floor, you'd have those suites of three rooms where guys would dorm in, you know, one set, and there'd be women in another set. But all told, we kind of mingled throughout the hallways and things. And there was very much a floor kind of identity. So that was interesting. Junior year, I moved to a different dorm. It was like an old converted like school. So it was very interesting the way that it was set up. It was one of the older dorms, which we weren't always as happy to get, but it ended up being a really great space for bonding with friends because it had a lot of interesting communal spaces. And they were also on different parts of the campus. So that one was kind of closer to maybe the science and technology building. So if people were doing that, they could go there. Junior year, I lived in, so our cafeteria had residences or like dorms above, like in the same building. So that was a year where I also put on a lot of weight because I could basically just run downstairs in my pajamas and go straight to the cafeteria. So there was that. And then by the time you got to senior year, they had actually built some of these kind of apartment style, dorms on campus. And so we were able to live in that with, it was me and I think five other, people who had this like multi-room, dorm apartment. In all of those cases, things like laundry and stuff were included on the dorm in the dorms. So you'd go down to the room and do it there. I had friends who lived off campus. Being very suburban, there were a lot of houses that had, you know, rooms where you could rent the whole house, and friends would divvy up the rooms to themselves. So there were a lot of those kinds of options.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a lot of different opportunities for whatever living style, you know, you mm-hmm. need or want, what kind of experience you'd like to have. So that's really neat.
Yeah, a lot of universities and small colleges and things, they won't be able to house everyone. So all of those moments, they were dictated by that sort of like housing lottery. So sometimes it's just up to luck whether you get, you know, a really good dorm, or you get a not so great one, or, you know, you do whatever. But so much of, this is going to sound very cliche, but so much of the college experience is about those social moments. So even when it wasn't maybe like our favorite dorm, or we didn't get our first pick, we really made the best of wherever we were, because those were opportunities for us to live together, to hang out, to, you know, really get to know one another.
Absolutely. So can you tell me about your best or a standout faculty experience?
I had a lot of great faculty, and I can't tell sometimes if I was lucky or if, you know, I really somehow sought out the ones who I really, you know, was going to sort of click with. But I would just say that the best or standout faculty experience that I've had is just the fact that I am still such good friends with my undergraduate advisor. In fact, he just called me the other day, because he was just like, we haven't spoken in a few months, and I miss you. And he's been a really great professional, kind of like bedrock for me as I've gone on. And so I think part of what made a school like the College of New Jersey kind of so magical is that I had so many opportunities to work very closely with faculty. So maybe a couple small experiences. One is I switched majors halfway through my time there. I started out as a physics major, and I ended as a BA in music, a Bachelor of Arts in music major with minors in physics and Italian, which kind of sounds like I just hit a randomizer, right? And that's kind of what my degree came out with. But through doing that, I actually, by the end of it, got to work on my sort of senior thesis project or whatever it is, by bringing together both my music faculty advisor, the one who I'm still very close to, and that one English professor that I started my first semester with, taking that Beatles class, because I had absolutely just thrived in his classroom. I loved his mind. I loved all of the stuff that we had talked about. I loved music. And I just remembered thinking, I just want to get you and this other faculty member in a room together, and I just want you to know each other, you know, and it, because it would be inspiring. And it was just so wonderful to be able to bring those two people together, and to be able to work with both of them on a project. And so that, the fact that I could do that, that there were faculty members who were so invested in making something like that happen for a student, is fantastic. And to hear that, like, years later, they've gone on to co-teach classes, I wish sometimes I could go back and just be a student again in a classroom of theirs. And the other I would say is, in the time that it took to, you know, learn a language or to take language courses, because most colleges will kind of ask that you do some language instruction, I got to really get to know some of the faculty there, and Italian's been a huge part of my education and my academic life since. So my Italian professor from undergraduate is still also a very close friend of mine, who has helped me connect with conferences on Italian language and culture. When I've gone to Italy to travel for research, I've met her, you know, there, and gotten to see, you know, her hometown. And just, there's something about the close contact or the kinds of faculty that you might encounter who really, really value the lifelong development of their students, and identifying those faculty and really finding ways to work with them has been the most just ongoing rewarding thing. I haven't been at TCNJ in a decade, but there are still people from that time in my life that have stuck with me, and I love it.
That's amazing. So what is campus like? Would you say it's easy to navigate? How far would you typically have to like walk or bike or however you got around to get to class?
So campus was legitimately like a circle. You drive in and there was just like a single road that was like a ring around the campus essentially. And pretty much everything was within that circle. I would say, gosh, I don't know how many, but maybe I would say it was about 5 square miles. I don't know. It was not a very big campus. And so I would get up in the morning, you know, freshman year, and leave my dorm, and I would walk. I didn't really have a bike there, and I don't think you really needed it. And even walking, I could get to the other side of campus in maybe 10 minutes, maybe 15. And so everything was very walkable. Everything was very concentrated for the most part. So, you know, your student center, we had a theater place. Those were all kind of in the middle of campus. Our library was obviously one of the main central like meeting points, and all of that stuff was within, you know, a series of those, what do they call them? Like the quadrangles, like the grassy lawns and things. And so, everything was very, very easy to navigate. Getting outside of the campus was a little bit harder because it was a very suburban campus. So, as a result, everything around the campus was pretty immediately suburban. So, you know, you walk to the edge of campus and you go out to the road and it's basically just houses, family houses that just, you know, and side streets. So that has changed in recent years as a lot of schools build up and try to provide different things. They, over the last decade at TCNJ, have built a campus town type little smaller area where there's, you know, some storefronts and little restaurants and, you know, that's where they put their bookstore and stuff like that. So they're trying to provide more exciting options for while you're on campus. But a place like TCNJ or any of those sort of suburban smaller colleges may face that similar kind of problem of both. It's great that it's insular, but can also feel maybe a little limiting if you don't have the option of exploring, let's say, a city or something else. So they find ways to make a balance.
Absolutely. That makes a whole lot of sense.
You know, one thing to think about here is context of this is New Jersey, and New Jersey is very small, yes. Very, very, very dense. And so, you know, when I say it feels insular on a campus like that, really what I mean is like if you don't have a car, for example,
yes.
Because within 5 minutes drive was a train station that would take you straight to Philly. So, you know, you really had the opportunity to go out and explore. And in fact, that's another great benefit of a place like TCNJ or a lot of those kinds of smaller colleges that are within the periphery of larger cities, is that you always then have the option for like the day trip or the weekend, like, you know, to go and check out these other destinations. We weren't terribly far away from New York either, New York City.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was like, you're kind of in between Philly and New York. So like, you do have that ability to sort of be like, okay, weekend trips or whatever, like you can kind of scoot mm-hmm. yourself either direction.
Yeah. In fact, I mean, a lot of our faculty lived in Philly. My advisor did, and my Italian professor, she moved to Philly and still teaches there. So it's pretty common to make, you know, like that trip, for example. Plus also tons of great, you know, rural areas as well, and parks and things. So there's, you know, sometimes it will depend on if you have a car, and that's true no matter where you go. And that's a very, it'll have to be a very personal choice that you make, because having a car on campus isn't a lot of additional expense.
Yes, and, it is.
Oh, it really is. And there will never be enough parking, you know, and things like that. So
I have found that is a common thread between most mm-hmm. universities.
A pretty big, I wouldn't say a social gamble, but if you are the friend with the car, be prepared because you will be taken to task quite frequently. So it can be a real liberating thing, but it can also add a little bit of headache.
Absolutely. So would you say there were any specific factors that led you to choose this school over any others that you might have applied to?
Well, so there's a lot of different things that could go into a choice of a school. And there's things that, you know, at the time, maybe I thought I wanted that I, you know, over the years, maybe would have thought otherwise. But I think the main thing that's always been very consistent for me is I went to TCNJ because I got more scholarship money there than I did anywhere else. And it was also, in that case, TCNJ is also listed as like a really good value college in the region, because it's public, it's a small school. So there's, you know, all those things that I talked about that I thought were benefits, they come with a much lower price tag than maybe others in the area. And so that was part of it, was that it would have cost less to go there. But also I think I had I had forgotten to apply for like the honors program at like Rutgers, which was the other school I was thinking of going to. And so I was like, well, you know, it's a good value, but also I would be able to get into this program and I would like to do that. So, it really came down to, the opportunity to, you know, be in the program that I wanted to be in, but also, the cost. That was definitely a major thing.
Absolutely, because the cost is a big part of going to school, and so keeping that factor in is important.
Absolutely.
All right, my last question for you: what do you wish you had known that an incoming or prospective student can benefit from?
So I guess two things. First is to sort of piggyback off of the thing we were just talking about. I do, even though I got, you know, partial scholarships and things, there are moments where I think about the fact that I did leave undergraduate with student loan debt. And that has been accruing over the past decade. It's been deferred in certain ways. If you go on to graduate school, there are various kind of stipulations for how that works. But I think about friends of mine who went other directions, who did their base like coursework at community colleges and then transferred in under, you know, full wide ride scholarships or things like that. And I think if I could go back and I had the clarity that I have now, I would have tried to pursue a route that would have reduced student loan debt. And so if you can avoid it, I would encourage you to do so. At the same time, an education is invaluable, and that's something that nobody can take from you. And so I strongly believe in higher education. Just wish it didn't cost as much.
Absolutely.
The other thing that I will say is I've thought a lot about this. I remember being in like high school and having those like people come in to talk to us about college and whatever, right? And I always remember people saying, you know, time management, time management, time management. And in my head, like as a high school student, I was always thinking, oh my gosh, there's just going to be so much to do and I'm just never going to have any time to do it. And time management, time management. And then I realized when I got to college, yes, you have a lot of stuff to do, but it is not, when they say time management, it's not because you have so much stuff in the day that you don't have time to do it. It's that you have too much time and you now have to be responsible for all that time. Like, you're not getting up at 6 a.m. so that you can hop on the bus and go to high school and be there until 3, and then you have your after school practice until 5 or whatever. like you might have, you know, a 10:30 a.m. class on a Tuesday and you get out at 11:45 or whatever, and then you're done for the day.
Yep.
And you have to do stuff with that time. And that's where being like developing some level of discipline is really important. And it's a lifelong learning process. So do the best
you
can.
That is for sure.
Do not, you know, beat yourself up over it. But that would be my first and major sort of tip is recalibrate what you think time management means. And both embrace all that free time, but don't let it get too far. And if you find out how to do it, please let me know. Cause I'm still, like I said, have not learned it. I do think that there are sort of two related points, I guess, that I think of. Cause now as a graduate student, I've worked a lot with undergraduates in teaching and teaching assistantship type things. And so I see a lot of incoming freshmen. I see some of the stuff that they grapple with in their academic work. And especially, as you mentioned, that sort of the dissonance between like, oh, well, in high school, this is how I was taught, or this is how I was treated. And suddenly that's maybe very different. And that's really disruptive and that can be really scary. The first thing I would say is, be willing, again, to the best of your ability, this is a very, very difficult adult task, but be willing to challenge what you thought you knew about yourself and about the kind of work that you do and just about what you thought you knew. And I don't mean that in this mind-blowing way, but I just mean there are, I think, a lot of students who did really well in high school. And people, we say this stuff all the time, but there's a kernel of truth somewhere in there that when you get to college, you're among a lot of people who are very, very talented, yourself included. And, you know, if you hand in written work and suddenly you find yourself being critiqued in ways that you hadn't been, do your best to be receptive to that. It's really hard. And, you know, so much is happening at the same time that, you know, to think like, I'm not as good as I thought I was. It can be really, really difficult, but do your best and be kind to yourself. That's something that irrespective of college or whatever, the best thing you can do is learn to be kind to yourself. And I guess to that end, the other thing I wanted to say is to start learning how to trust your gut. I mentioned briefly earlier that I started out as a physics major and I did not end up as a physics major. And that was because, you know, a year in maybe I found that every assignment that I was getting in my physics classes and some of my math classes, I just couldn't do on my own. I was constantly asking friends of mine, you know, how did you do this? You know, how did you solve this? And it was really, really frustrating because I didn't think I was dumb. I didn't think I couldn't do it or something. I clearly chose the major and I got into the college, you know, on some merit, but I just, it wasn't clicking for me and I was really stubborn about it. And it wasn't until I basically failed a chemistry, like an intro level chemistry class, that I realized like I need to get out of this. Because making a lifelong commitment, as we are expected to do at the start of college, is incredibly difficult. You know, it's not something that we're ever equipped to really do. And so if you find yourself starting out on a path that at some point you realize maybe isn't good for you, be kind to yourself, listen to yourself, you know, try, right? Don't give up every time you meet resistance. But in my case, I don't think I could have finished the degree that I started in. And it took a lot of, it's weird to say, I guess, courage of myself, but I think it was a really difficult decision to turn around and say, I can't do this. And instead, I need to find a place where I can thrive. And I think I found that place, but you know, there's always going to be challenges.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it takes a level of bravery and courage and grace for yourself to know when you do and don't fit in something, when something isn't working. And
yeah. In fact, actually, so there, I guess I didn't realize I had more thoughts. Maybe I should just turn into like a touring speaker for high school coaches. But the two other things that this makes me think of, the first is that don't be afraid to take breaks. And that can be in a really microscopic way, you know, like you're working on something and sometimes the best thing you can do is give yourself a chance to walk away from the material for a moment, you know. But I also mean that in the sense that if you need to take a gap year, if you need to hold off before you apply to grad school, if that's what you want to do, obviously there are a lot of different circumstances that can encourage or prevent you from doing that. But some of the most prepared and brilliant people that I have encountered, especially in graduate school, were people who took time away from school to see where they were at in life and what they wanted to do. And that brought them back with such inspirational focus and clarity that I didn't have. I was in school. I've been in school constantly since like I was three, I guess, you know? And as a result, I feel like there are so many moments where I've lacked the greater perspective of what it is I am doing or what I want to do with this. It's all in theory because I've never actually had enough opportunity to go out and figure out where am I at, you know, and what can I do? And so that can be a real strength. I think some people can think, oh, you know, I'm going to go back to grad school and I'm going to be in classrooms with 22-year-olds and I'm going to feel old or something. And it's like, no. Even in college, I think that's a thing I think a lot of people think too, is like, oh, well, predominantly it's going to be 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds. And if you come back later, you're going to feel some kind of like you're late to the party. And there's a lot of strength and a lot of opportunity in having life experience. And it's so, so, so much more valuable than, you know, just going straight into the next thing. I see that a lot in the student work that I read. It's very clear when somebody has a wealth of life experience that they're drawing from, it makes you so much stronger in the things that you set out to do. So definitely that's kind of wrapped up in that. Be kind to yourself. If you need to take time, take time. And I guess the last thing that was on my mind is I mentioned how I you know, worked with an Italian professor and I chose Italian as the language. Learn a language. You don't have one, aside from English, if you've only grown up knowing English, learn a language, or just take the requisite classes and do what you can, because it's so, so important. And for ways that maybe you don't always expect, like one thing that I've noticed is there's a great humility that comes from learning a language that I don't think enough people have experienced. And that is, you know, being in a classroom where you're learning a language and you are an adult, a, you know, perceptive and eloquent English speaker, and suddenly you find yourself struggling to say very, very basic things in another language. And that, the dissonance between knowing what you want to say but not being able to say it, provides such a profound, or at least I hope it would, such a profound kind of empathy for non-native English speakers, which we will find, you know, so many all around us. And there's sometimes a lack of recognition or understanding of just how difficult that position can be. And to not devalue those who can't you know, speak English, for example, at such a high level. There's this erroneous like value connection or value judgment that's made when somebody doesn't quote unquote speak correctly or something like that. And that's something that I think is a lesson that you can learn by struggling in another language. Not only is it an amazing skill, it'll open up so many different professional and personal pathways for you. But it, I think, makes you a better person if you remain open to those kinds of challenges, to both challenge yourself and again what you thought you knew. I think those are tremendous opportunities that are in front of you in college.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Well, thank you so much for talking with me today. I loved learning more about your college, and it was really great talking with you about it.
Thank you so much again for having me.
The library wants to be able to help teens on their journey as best we can. So for more information about college and career connections, please visit Charlotte Mecklenburg Library's website, cmlibrary.org/teens, and also check out the Career Exploration Spotlight podcast series. Thanks so much for tuning in and listening to today's episode. If you loved what you just heard or know someone who would, please share it. Take a screenshot of the episode and share it on social media, and don't forget to tag us. Last but not least, if you want to lend your personal support to what we're doing, leave a review on your podcast provider. Tune in every other week for a new episode of the College Exploration Spotlight series, and we'll see you then.